Okay, if you want to get your Bibles, open up to Galatians chapter number 5 is where we're going to start at. Galatians chapter number 5. It's great to have so many of you here this morning. It's a nice group of people for Sunday school class. Thankful for that. Got a couple announcements we're going to go over. Galatians chapter number 5. So announcement-wise, let's see here. A lot of things going on as we start doing more things. There's going to be a full calendar just like it was, 16 months ago. And I know some people are like, man, with a choir opening up, that means I'm missing an hour on Sunday afternoon. It's harder to get here. So I understand that. And so look at the, we all miss so many things, doing things together as a church family. So we're starting to do some things. First and foremost, we have a business meeting tonight. We also got a men's prayer breakfast this coming Saturday. If you plan on coming to the prayer breakfast, please sign up by Wednesday night. That's at 8 o'clock. If you'd like to come help cook, just let me know, and that usually begins about 7 o'clock. Spring Revival is May 2nd through the 5th with Brother McBride. Unfortunately, it's just going to be him. So when he called me and told me it's just going to be him, I said, well, I don't want you to come then, because we enjoy, but Mrs. McBride and Bethany are taking care of Mrs. Pitt, and she's having some different problems, and so they're taking turns traveling back and forth, traveling along with them. So this is the week that they're off, so they won't be here. I'll just be him. Still think God's the one in control, and God's got it all figured out, so we'll have some special music, obviously, from our church family. I always enjoy that. Ladies Appreciation Luncheon, May 15th. That is, there's a sign-up sheet out there for that. And gentlemen, we'll talk a little bit about that during a men's prayer practice. So that is May 15th from 11 a.m. to 1:30. I understand there are going to be a few that are out of town. We'll miss that they can't be here, but this was the one week that worked out for us. Junior camp's coming up June 13th through the 16th. Teen camp and Kids Crusade, all those dates are on there. Another date you want to mark on your calendar is June 5th. June 5th is a Saturday. I don't know if you remember the year before COVID, which seems like it was a long, long time ago. We had a church picnic on a Saturday night for our church family and had a good time. And the intention was that we were going to invite other churches next time we did it to come be a part of it. So we're inviting the other local independent Baptist churches in our area to come and not just have Faith Baptist Church hosting a picnic, but it's going to be something that's going to be a group effort from all the different churches that are going to be involved. I don't think everybody's going to be able to be involved, but we'll have four or five churches represented, and we're going to have a good time. And so that's June 5th. We'll give you more details about that, but you might want to mark down on the calendar and you pray as we prepare that. Brother, you have a special speaker that day. Brother Dave Barnhouse is going to come preach that Saturday night because many of them already support him, so that it was a speaker that we all could agree on very easily. And also, Brother Barnhouse will stay that next day on the 6th and be here with us. So we're taking our Sunday night church service on the 6th, moving it to Saturday night the 5th, or Saturday afternoon. And so it's going to be a good day. We're going to have lots of different, hopefully, people here, lots of different interesting things going on, hopefully lots of different food and things like that. But obviously, to do something like that, we're going to need some help and also be encouragement. And the main reason why the Lord laid it upon our hearts is so that way we understand we're not competing with one another as churches. If anything, we're supposed to be brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we maybe don't agree on everything. I think we agree on most things, but at the same time, it's something we can fellowship together around His Word, also have a time of food, and also have a time of going outside and doing things. So looking forward to that. That's June 5th. So a lot of things going on there, and there's even more things coming during the summer, but we don't want to overwhelm you just yet with all the different details. This morning's message, Lord kind of spoke my heart, and that's part of the reason why we're keeping the classes together for a few more weeks. I guess that's one other announcement that we can make on. It is, make sure I get the date right. I think we're going to move it to May 16th because one of our teachers is going to be out of town on May 15th. But on May 16th, we're going to go back to having multiple adult Sunday school classes. So we're going to have an auditorium class that's in here. Also going to have a class that's more for that age group, somewhere around 28 to 50, maybe a little bit older, people that have kids still at home, that type of age group. And then we're also going to have an 18-year-old to a 28-year-old class too. And plus, everybody's favorite class is coming back. The Widow Ladies class is going to try to start meeting also back there on May 16th. So a lot of things going on here at Faith Baptist Church. So you be praying as we attentively and as we do things step by step that the Lord will bless. So all those different things going on, mark your calendars, get involved where you can, and be faithful to God's house. Okay, so this morning's lesson, message, sermon, whatever you want to call it, it talks about be careful who influences you. Be careful who influences you. And it's key. We put such a big emphasis. We really do. We put a big emphasis on spending time with God. And sometimes people don't get that or understand why. It's because the people you spend time with will influence you. And I've seen it happen so many times. I've seen it happen many times in a bad way. People start hanging around with the wrong crowd. We think we're going to change them, but oftentimes they change us. And also I see it happen even in other circles amongst other churches. And we're not ecumenical here. I know we just talked about a church picnic there, but we're talking about people that are like-minded, like believers. But when you step out of somebody that believes the same doctrines you do, you get to begin to know people, and you begin to have this opinion, well, you know what, maybe they're not that bad. And no one's saying anyone's bad. It's just whether or not they're scriptural. If they're not scriptural, there's a problem. And if there's a problem, they can help influence you in your thinking. And I've seen it happen. And that's why it's so important that we choose to come to the right church. That's why it's important we choose the right colleges for our young people. Why it's important we have the right schooling or the right, some even choose to homeschool and things like that. Why is that? Because we want to guard the influences that we have. Now, I know most of us all have a job. And as this job that we have, sometimes you work with people. And when you're talking about working with people, sometimes you don't always get to choose who you work with. It's sort of like your family. You don't get to choose your family, but you do choose the family you marry into. And so we have certain controls on the people that influence us, and we have certain limits that we should have with people that maybe do not know God or love God the way we should, in the way that we do. So I want to challenge you this morning with some interesting thoughts about be careful who influences you. Because the Bible says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. The reality is, don't let this deceive you, that you can be around corrupt communication and it's not going to mess you up. Don't think that you're going to be able to be around a whole bunch. And like I said, it's been a few weeks that the Lord kind of laid this upon my heart, and I was trying to figure out the best way to present it. So we're going to start here in Galatians chapter number 5. This importance that is put here in John chapter 15, it says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. So the challenge is here, Jesus is saying, look, if you abide in me, if you rest in me, if there's connection, if you spend time with me, you know what's going to happen? You're going to bear fruit. But it's when we don't spend time with the Lord, he doesn't influence us. The word of God doesn't influence us. When we pray and we communicate one another, what's happening there is as you spend time with someone, influence you. So be careful who influences you. In Galatians chapter number 5, we have a story about the church of Galatia. Paul had came and won these people to the Lord. And he has came and won these people to the Lord. He's writing to them because there was a group that came into the church that was trying to influence them. And we call them the Judaizers. Why are they called the Judaizers? It's because of the fact that they came into this spot and they came into the church and they were saying something like this. Hey, yes, it's grace. You're saved by grace through faith. But you got to add the law in there. You got to be circumcised. You got to obey the Sabbath. You got to do all these Old Testament laws in order truly to be saved and be redeemed. And Paul is here and he's teaching them and he's talking to them. And I find it's interesting that he comes to this spot and he says to them, hey, you did, verse number 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should obey the truth? So what should not obey the truth? So what the scripture is saying here is, look, you were doing really well in your walk with the Lord, and something happened, something changed, someone influenced you. You say, yeah, it's all those worldly people, all those evil people. These Judaizers in the world's eyes would be somebody who was more separated. And in reality, they were wrong because they were doctrinally wrong. And they were not trying to tell them to become more like the world. They were telling them, hey, become more like the Jewish nation. But Paul is saying there was a problem here. He says, you let these people into your church, and you were doing so well, you were running so well, and as you let these people into your church, you began to let these people influence you. As you begin to let these people influence you, you know what happens? You stunt your growth. And then he even says here, they've caused you not to obey the truth. And I think it's a challenge that we must always understand and consider the people that we are around truly does influence us. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Some people think just one or two won't make that big of a deal. Some people say, hey, just letting that one person in the church, even though they may believe a little bit. Once again, we're not talking about preferences. We're talking about doctrinal differences. And they begin to influence other people around you. And I've seen churches split over the fact that they've allowed somebody to influence them, and they continue to grow and grow, and the doctrines that were taught at the church are no longer interested in knowing because they've let someone influence them the wrong way. So let's go here and read for a little while. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. He says, that didn't come from God. You know, some people says, oh, this maybe this is from the Lord. Maybe, you know, maybe we got this wrong or this or that. And Paul's saying, hey, no, you're missing this. You're missing something here. You were doing well. You were running well. You let these people into your church. And as you let these people into our church, they are now causing you to teach a false doctrine, even to add something to salvation. And he's saying, look, this persuasion did not come from God. And then it's a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. And it's that picture that if you let a little bit of sin into your life, you know what's going to happen? It's going to continue to grow and continue to grow, and it's going to take over you. So I am very careful. Consider who you let influence your life. Verse number 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will by none otherwise mind it, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. He's saying, look, I got confidence because the Lord that you're not going to let this happen, but whoever is causing these things to happen, these rifts to happen, these question marks to happen, this ungodly doctrine to happen, he says, this is something that they're going to have to face for judgment. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? This is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. So he says, I just wish they were gone. He says, it'd be better than having the people that have a right mindset and doctrine than to say, hey, it's better to just get them out than to have someone influencing you the wrong way. Now, once again, this is talking about Judaizers. These are talking about people that think they're spiritually minded, doing God's work, but they're not doing God's work. And there are a group of people, we got to be careful not letting them influence you. There is that group that are not really out doing God's work. They're doing what they think is best. They're doing the way they've interpreted the Bible. And usually they're not silent. They keep on spreading. Oh, well, maybe the Bible really doesn't say that, mean that, and those other things. Then you come over to the whole other side when there's a group of ungodly people, you know, that are not godly, you know, that don't love the Lord, that don't have the same spiritual ambitions you have because they're not saved, and they don't love the Lord like you do, and you're letting them influence you. Paul is saying, I would just say, just get rid of them all outside of the church house. Let's keep on going. For brethren, you have been called. He says, you have a calling on your life. You have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You have a calling on your life. He says, God has given you this. And he says, you have been called unto liberty. What does that mean, liberty? It means that we've been saved from that bondage. No longer are we having put ourselves under sin. We live in liberty that God has given us. But we should not use that liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Don't let that liberty become something to make excuses for your flesh. Hey, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. So because of that, I can look at whatever I want to. I can say whatever I want to. I can do all these other things. And I'm still going to heaven. Yes, the truth might be there that you have eternal security, but that's not the reason why God saved you. That's not why you have liberty. It's not as a cloak of maliciousness. It's not as a way to you turn around and say, I can do whatever I want now. He's saying, hey, don't listen to these Judaizers. They are taking the truth and they're manipulating it to sound the way they want it to sound. And unfortunately, there are religious groups out there like that. And we got to be really careful. And he keeps on going. And you see here, there's a purpose. But by love, serve one another. We have a calling. So what's our calling for? Why does God give us liberty? So we can go let grace abound more in sin and sin and sin? And the answer is no. the reason why he gives us liberty is so that we can, at the end, serve one another. And then not only serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we've been called into liberty to serve one another, to love one another. And in verse number 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. And what the scripture is talking about there is we need to be careful to preserve one another. Not to rip somebody's face off, to be gentle and kind. If you skip over in chapter number 6, it says, brethren, if a man be taken and overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, it means you're right with the Lord, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Sometimes a restoration process is something you got to really just take everything out, rip everything out. But often that restoration process is something you take something that was there and you make it beautiful. You think about an old car that is covered, and, you know, it's dirty and rusty, and you take the car and you restore it to its original thought. And that's what he's saying here. He says, hey, look, when you're dealing with someone who's been overtaken in a fault, when they have a fault, make sure you're trying to restore them. That is the goal. The goal is not to get rid of them. You say, well, Pastor, what about the other people? They're not brothers. They're teaching an apostasy. They're teaching something that is false. He says, they don't belong in the church. But if you see a brother, what are you supposed to do with them? You're supposed to encourage them. Help bring them back into a right relationship with God. Help them to bring them back into a right relationship with the church. It doesn't mean that you're going to rip their face off. It means that you're going to confront them, like the Bible says, sometime with their sins. And if they don't listen to you, bring somebody with you. If they don't listen, then it goes to the church type thing. But what does it say in verse number 2? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We've been given this opportunity to bear one another's burdens and to fulfill the law of Christ. So this is our responsibility here, is to love one another. It's there to serve one another. It's there to bear one another's burdens. I wonder how good we do at that. And so when we're trying to influence someone, we're not trying to get them to come over to our way. We're not getting them this because we want someone else to agree with us. I've seen a problem over here in the past when there's sin that's there. Someone else will go to somebody else and they'll say, hey, I did this. Do you think it's okay? You're going to find somebody to agree with your sin. It might take you a few times, but you're going to find someone to agree with your sins. I remember there was one time when something happened and there was someone that called like 10 different people in the church saying, hey, Pastor Pease did this or said this. What do you think about that? And the people agreed with me, at least the 10 people that came up with me said, hey, this individual called me and said this. This was years ago. He says, hey, and he said, he called all these different people and they told me about it. Now, I bet you there's a couple people he found that agreed with them. He said, what's the challenge here? He says, you're trying to get somebody to love your sin. Hey, because you've accepted it, because you have been convinced that it's okay, then you try to convince others. Be careful who influences you. If it's against the scriptures, then there's a problem. We need to be careful who we allow influences our lives and also our children's lives and inside our church's life. So think about it. Once again, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So I want to think for a little while is who are we letting influence us? Proverbs 13:20 puts it this way, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So it's scripture, it's the Bible. If you went in there and you typed in KJV verses that talk about influence on your Google search, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a lot of things. You would type in there KJV verses that talk about friendship, you're going to find some of these verses. Probably one of the most popular ones when you talk about influence is, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, here's the thing is, you can sharpen one another, or you can hurt one another too. I went, and once again, I'm not a guy that sharpens knives or sharpens swords, but I had someone one time tell me, he says, well, not only can you sharpen a knife, but if you sharpen it wrong, you can damage the knife too. And I really truly believe that we can sharpen one another to become more like God, but I truly believe, and I've seen it happen many times, you can make somebody blunt too in your Christian walk. When you turn around and you take something out and you start trying to sharpen it against something that's ungodly and something that's wrong, something that you know is wrong, you know what you're doing is you're damaging your Christian walk and your Christian testimony? Who are you letting influence you? You know, iron sharpened if iron. And I love the friends I have in my life that encourage me and that pick me up as a believer and that help me become more like Christ. And that's what I think a friend should do. And once again, you can enjoy hobbies, you can enjoy times with one another, but helps you to become more like Christ. They are sharpening you. They are making you sharper as a believer and as a Christian in your walk. And then there's other people and other things in my life that if I spend more time with that, you know what? If I let them sharpen parts of my life, it's not going to be good things. And we got to be careful. Say, Pastor, does that mean we should get rid of everybody that does not look like me and act like me and think like me and or is the exact same spot on my Christian walk? That means you wouldn't fellowship with nobody. No, that's not it at all. It's just be careful who you're letting influence you. Be careful who you're listening to. I've seen kids go away to even a college or a Bible college. You know that 18 to 22-year age group it's very formative. And I've seen kids get involved in certain spots and they change completely what they thought. People that grew up inside our church, inside even my youth group, that would hate a church like ours today because they have listened to someone else who has sharpened them and changed. They've let someone influence them. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect. I'd be the first person to tell you I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfection. But at the same time, be careful who you let influence you. Be careful who you let develop who you are as a believer. Using a emery wheel or an abrasive belt many times lets the blade heat up too much, and if it will remove the knife's temper and even destroy its edge. And some even to the point where it can never have an edge again. And I guess seen so many times in this world that we live in today, this ungodly side of people that are trying to influence us. Did you know there's actually something out there today called influencers? Now, I'm old, so I don't really know. The only reason why I know is because I try to keep up by writing stuff. But people that blog and people that make podcasts, and they actually pay people to be an influencer. And what they're doing is they're trying to influence people with their lives. It's crazy sometimes some of the things people believe and say. But that person has put themselves up as some type of character or some type, and maybe some of the younger people can give me a better definition, but they want people to follow them. And the reason why they want people to follow them is so that they will act like them, dress like them. The main reason is because every time they get somebody to watch them, they get a certain percentage or something like that, and they make money that way. But their interest is to influence this world. And I'm sure there's some good ones out there, but I know there's a lot of ungodly ones because that's what the world is teaching us today. Hey, you need to do what's right, and you need to do what you think is right. I think about somebody that was out there, and I'm trying to remember what I read this morning. They were giving out a kids award to Elmo for his years of service. Isn't that nice? During her speech, she says, "It's okay for you to love anyone. I love my girlfriend, and it's been the greatest time of my life." It was a lady saying that. As she's giving out a award to Elmo for his work with kids. You know what she's doing? She's trying to influence kids to say, "Hey, it's okay." You know, in the past, she would say in a different article, in the past it was okay, not as many people came out of being a homosexual because of the fact that so many other people did not agree with or they would look down upon, but everybody now today is very receiving and acceptable and guess go ahead and do it. It's not a big deal. There's other people, you don't have to worry about them. They're the minority now. You know what? That lady is trying to influence those kids. It's okay for a woman to be in love with a woman. It's the best time of her life, she said. That's not an exact quote, but it is very true to portray that lady that did that, and she's trying to influence them. And we have people out there that hate God, or they wouldn't say they hate God, because if they said they hated God, they would lose some of their influence. But they instead manipulate things and say, they hate some of God's laws. And they try to influence people into, and you know what they're doing? They're trying to sharpen somebody too. They're just sharpening to become more like the world. They're sharpening to be more ready for the devil's use. It's important that you understand, iron sharpeneth iron. Are you sharpening someone today? With your influence and with your life, and you as a believer and as a Christian, is somebody coming up to you and you're being a sharpening tool for somebody else? think that's what we should be. I really think that's what God desires us to be. I know that sometimes people that influenced my life over the years, I didn't appreciate them to begin with. Those teachers in school that were the not fun teachers, teachers you really actually learned in their class, the ones that made you work super hard and you thought they were just mean, but then you go to college and you realize, wow, I actually learned something. I'm ready for this. And then you go to the other classes that had those cool teachers that didn't make you work so hard, and you go to that class in college and you learn, hey, I should have learned more in high school. We let people influence us. There are people trying to teach us all the time. And are you sharpening someone today? Are you causing someone else to become more dull in your Christian walk? I've seen it happen. Like I said, now 18, getting ready to be 18 years being into the ministry, I've seen it happen where people have been influenced by other people, and I've seen people leave churches. I remember the time when Pastor Barry decided that it was time for him to leave the church. There was a little problem inside the church, and so he did some things. And when he left the church, they went and started a church about 20 or 30 minutes away, but he influenced a lot of people to go with him. It was, he used his friendship, he influenced people, and he had a church split. And it was a challenge. Why is that? Because other people were trying. I remember I was about 24 or 25. I taught junior church. I did other things. And they were trying to influence me, one to go one way and another person go another way and stay here or go. And as a young person, I was confused. But there was somebody that was there that helped sharpen me, didn't try to make a decision for me, but went to the Bible and showed me biblical things and sharpened me, and I decided to stay at the church because I thought that's what the Lord wanted, and I truly believed that's what God wanted, and God used that and worked in that. Are you sharpening someone today? Are you causing someone to be duller? Are you looking at people and saying, you know what, it's okay not to be biblical when it comes to this area of your life? It makes sense. It's just a day and time that we live in. You're dulling somebody's blade. Or are you over here saying, it might look like the world is winning, but God's one on the throne and God's in charge, and you know, keep on. Are you sharpening somebody? How are you influencing people today? Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. I think that's kind of interesting. You would think, hey, don't you think we should be friends with those that are angry? And we're going to talk about that in a little while, but the Bible says, make no, and here's the second verse that goes right along with this, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. He says, look, don't become a friend of an angry man unless you become an angry man yourself. What is that saying? It's saying that they're going to influence you. So be very careful. Now, when it comes to people that are unsaved, I have relationships, obviously, because you build relationships so that way you can win people to Christ. But my main objective for people that I know that are not believers in my life, outside of maybe my family, my main objective there is to try to win them to Christ, to live a life in front of them. Yes, sometimes it means getting to know them. It means being a light, being the salt. And so I'm not saying we should never talk to anybody that's unsaved and say, hey, I'm a Christian. I can't talk to you. I'm going to be a monk and go live somewhere. The Bible doesn't say that. But the scriptures do talk about not becoming a friend with an angry man. Be careful how you have people that are super close to you that are unbelievers, because they're going to influence you. And you're going to say, well, I don't know why your church does this or does that. And you might explain it the first or two, but you sit there and listen to them complain about the church, or listen to complain about God, or listen to complain about the Bible, or listen to them complain about standards. You know what? Sooner or later, they're going to influence you. So be careful about your associations. Be careful about the people you allow to influence you. Obviously, you got to work with them. Obviously, you want to build relationships with the goal of making them a follower of Jesus Christ so they can, iron can sharpen iron, but that individual is not going to be able to help you spiritually. He doesn't even understand spiritual things according to what the scripture says, not what I say, but what the Bible says. So be careful who you let influence you. It says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And what the Bible's saying there? Let's consider one another. It's talking about believers and Christians there, that we will provoke each other to love and to good works. Is that the way we're influencing people? I've met people in churches before who like to cause trouble. You ever met somebody like that? If you haven't, it's that guy that will come up or that lady that will come up and will start complaining about something in the church to see if you're going to agree with them. And so as they're complaining, they says, hey, have you talked to the pastor? Nah, that's okay. And you don't need to talk to the pastor. Don't need to talk to the Sunday school teacher that's there now. It's better to go and poke fun. And they do it under the guise of just having a little bit of fun. But they poke fun. And what they're doing is they're provoking someone not to a good work. They're not provoking someone to love. They're provoking someone to whatever the other side is. They're not sharpening them to become, hey, I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to love the Lord, and I want to love my church, and I want to do what God's called me to do. No. They're sharpening someone to say, hey, I don't need to provoke somebody to good works. That's not my job. It says it right here. You go back to that Galatians 5 passage. It says at the end of verse number 13, to serve one another. That's the point. When you serve somebody else, you know what that means? That person, unless they're selfish, they're going to see your good works and they're going to glorify their Father, which is in heaven. And as they're glorifying their Father, which is in heaven, it's going to provoke them to say, you know what? I could do that. I can serve somewhere. I can minister to someone. When someone ministers to us, our reaction should be, now who can I provoke to good works? Who can I minister to also? Now, different stages of our lives, we don't always get to do as much as we like to do. Sometimes when we're younger, we're kind of held back a little bit and said, hey, you know, as you get older, you can have more responsibilities and do more things around the church. And as you get older, sometimes the faculties aren't all there and you can't put in as much hours or time and you might be limited in what you can do. But there is a time and place that the Bible says we should provoke each other to good works with our fellowship, with our ability as a church member, of us, how we act inside the church. Are we encouraging one another to good works? Are we encouraging people with our singing? You know, I've been around people that sing loud and they sing in a church service. And when they're out there and they're in the pew and they're singing, and you know what? You just want to sing with them because they're enjoying it. They're praising the Lord and they want to sing too. And when it comes to serving, you know, are you provoking others to say, hey, let's do this together when it comes to our giving? And I know people don't know what each other give, but at the same time, you can see the results of the giving, whether it's through the bulletins or through the Faith Promise or special projects. You see people are involved and they want to get involved, and that provokes one another to good works. Are you provoking anybody? I see people provoking people, and they're making other people's swords more blunt by the things that they post on Facebook. They're making things more blunt by the conversations they have and the fact that they don't come to church and the fact that they don't maybe sing or they don't serve and they have attitudes and they don't want to be involved in things and they're not provoking each other, one another, to good works. What they're doing is they're dulling someone's blade. I think the Bible's saying here, it says that we have an influence in a church. That's the verse before the one, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see today coming, that as Jesus is coming, we need to make sure we're faithful to church. And we all would agree with that because you're here on a Sunday school. But he's saying the verse before that, let's consider one another. How can I encourage someone in their work for God? And not just a mouth service, because the fact that people know if you're sincere and real. But instead, a service that says, you know what, they love the Lord and they're serving God. I want to sharpen them. And I have different people that sharpen different areas of my life that I'm thankful for. Let's go ahead and take our Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Be careful who influences you. Say, Pastor, I can't influence people. Nobody even wants to spend time with me. I don't got any friends. You ever felt like that? That's what does the Bible say? A man that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly. You know, I have people tell me many times, not a lot, because I think we have a fairly friendly church. I've had some people tell me that nobody ever talks to them and no one's ever friendly to them. And normally that person is an individual that does not talk to anybody and they kind of stay by themselves. if you truly want friends, you got to show yourself friendly. And I know not everybody feels comfortable with everybody, but as believers and Christians, we should be able to communicate. And a visitor is someone who we should communicate first and foremost. They should be the most popular person here that day. We should communicate with them, thank them for coming. Who's influencing you in your lives? If you want to influence others, you must be willing to show yourself friendly. Matthew chapter 5, look what it says in verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So some things there. Being the salt of the earth, I think it refers to us as believers, is the fact that if we're not acting like a believer, then we've lost our savor. We've lost our purpose. As a believer, we're supposed to influence this world for Christ. As a believer, we're supposed to try to win people to Christ. As a believer, we're supposed to let our light shine. And they're saying, if you're someone who is a believer and you've lost your savor, your desire to serve God, your saltiness, I guess is a good way to put it, pretty much you're not going to influence anybody the right way. It says it's lost. It has lost his savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Back in Bible times, salt was actually very valuable. And it was kind of interesting. They even paid people sometimes in salt just because of how valuable it was. And it's interesting, as they were mining the salt or taking the salt, they would always take the outward portion of it and they would throw it away because it's lost its savor, because it's been attracted, it's been affected by the world. It's been affected by the world's, the world's sun and other things like that. And I think that's interesting when you consider Scripture. Many times a believer that lets the world affect them and the world around them affect them, they lose their savor. And because of that, what they do with that salt that's worthless is they throw it out and people would walk on it. It's sort of like it covers up a hole so you don't have to walk in the mud. Maybe what we would use gravel for today. Something that is so valuable that they would pay you with it, but if it loses its purpose, then it's worthless. Christian, I think there's many of us, and even times in my own life, that I have forgotten the importance of influencing others for Christ. I've let other things and other people influence me to the point that I've lost my savor at times, and I don't want that. I want to influence Christ. I want to influence this world for Christ, and the only way I can do that is by being close with him. Like we talked about at the beginning, why do we make such a big deal of spending time with God? It's because he'll influence us as we spend time with him. As we read his word, he speaks to our hearts. He teaches us. As we pray, he speaks to our hearts. As we study, as we learn, he influences us because we spend time with him. So be careful with who influences you in your life. Here's just a couple as we tie it up. Who are you influencing today? Are you influencing them for the things of God? That's what we're here for. So be careful. Don't let this world, don't let the Kardashians, the influencers of this world, dictate what people say and do. You said, that's ridiculous. There are people out there in the world, they're popular for a reason, right? They have allowed, there are people in this world, and a lot of young people sometimes buy into, maybe not them, but sports stars, rock stars, people that are living, quote, unquote, the beautiful life. They let people influence them to the point that they're dulling their blade. And be careful over here also of someone who comes into a church dressed with your best intentions at heart, like the Judaizers, that do things that are unscriptural and try to tell you and influence you. Because that's what Paul was saying. Ye did run well. Who have hindered you? It wasn't the doctrine. It was the person that influenced them that stopped them. We need to be careful that even though sometimes people come in wolves come in sheep clothing to try to influence you one way or another. If it's unscriptural, it says, Paul's saying, I wish they weren't even there. I wish they would just all leave. They've caused so much damage and so much hurt, so we need to be careful who's influencing us. I remember, I can only tell you my own personal testimony about the years that people influenced me. I got the privilege of going to a Christian school. I was thankful for that. I got to go to a good Bible church, the Baptist Bible Church. Had a good pastor, Dr. Tom Berry, I mentioned my whole life. And there were people in my life that influenced me, that sharpened me. I can think of junior church teachers and Sunday school teachers that prayed for me, that I look back on my life now and think, man, I probably didn't treat them right. I know I didn't show my appreciation, but I know there were people who went to my ball games, who took me out soul winning, who I know prayed for me, and they would ask me dumb questions like this: how's your walk with God? Who asked somebody that? I mean, really? I mean, this guy that's in his 50s coming up to me, how's your walk with God, Brian? I'm like, what do you mean my walk with God? I'm like fourth grade. But it put a thought in my mind. These men sharpened me. Then I go back to those guys in school that I thought were going to be my best friends forever. You sign those yearbooks, you go back and look at your yearbooks. Yeah, best friends forever, this and that. People you haven't seen for 10 or 15 years. Maybe Facebook is a little bit more available now, so you can see how much hair they've lost and how much weight they've gained and how many kids they have and all those other things. Those people I let influence my life, that they didn't sharpen me at all. And those are some of the guys that got me into listening to the wrong type of music. Those are some of the guys and girls that on the sports teams that you talk about in the locker room, things I heard, things I never heard before. And I'm thankful for the school I went to. It was great. I'm thankful it was a lot of godly teachers there to influence my life. But I let those kids influence me more than I did teachers. And I'm learning now over these years. I look back and say, you know what? That Mrs. Philpott was a horrible senior English teacher. Because we didn't have a lot of strong teachers in 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th, and 11th grade, she felt like she had to go and teach all 5 years in 1 year. But you know what? I was ready for English when I went to Pensacola. Because she was there and she influenced. I went back teaching the same school and she was there when I was teaching part of the time, just helping out in a Bible class or two. And you know what she was there doing? Exact same thing. And she was trying, and I still remember some of the things she used to say, because I would go to Bible college, I would work at nighttime, go to Bible college, and then go teach the class sometimes. She would try to sharpen me. She even at that age, in those times, she would say little things to try to help me. She taught in the Learning Center, which was for kids that were a little slower, and she only taught one class, and that was senior English. Everybody hated that class because of how much hard work it was. You know, sometimes people complain about one research paper. We had to do multiple research papers that year. Once again, they were trying to catch up for all those other years. And they did that so that way we were prepared to take the leave. But she influenced me about being a hard worker at my schoolwork. And I guess look back in my life and I think about, man, I let so many other people influence me. But there were so many other opportunities that people that tried and influenced me, whether it's teachers, even some friends. I have a friend that I graduated high school with that's in a ministry today, and I don't know where I would be without him back then for those years when those other guys didn't want to live for God, that didn't go to our church, and they just did whatever they wanted to. And I'm not picking on Christian education because I like Christian education. I like what Victory's trying to do over there, and I like the opportunities to have to go to a Christian school and all those other things. I grew up in that. You can live for God there, but you got to be careful who you let influences you. You can live for God where you're at. You just got to be careful who you let influence you. I had a whole array of teachers, friends that were willing to sharpen me, but there were times in my life that I let someone else sharpen me. And I had a bad attitude about school a little bit sometimes, not always. I actually was blessed by having some people that try to sharpen me so that way I didn't have go down some roads and some paths that was too wrong and too bad. But if I would have let those other people influence me, I don't think I would have had as many struggles as I have today. So wherever you're at in your world, try to influence someone for Christ. Try sharpening someone. Now, spiritual things are great, but other things you can sharpen people with too. Let me encourage you. Iron sharpens iron, so make sure you're sharpening the people the right way. Don't sharpen them to the things of the world. Don't even sharpen them to in the guise of doing things spiritually. If you're not serving God and living for God, don't give anybody some spiritual advice. Get your heart right, and then give the spiritual advice. Like it said in Galatians chapter 6, ye that are spiritual. I sometimes see people try to do things spiritual, and they're really far away from God. That's not the person we should be listening to. You say, Pastor, how do you always know? You spend a lot of time with God. Let him influence you the most. So that way, as you're proceeding, you can see those people that you need to sharpen and those others that you need to let sharpen you. I don't know why God laid this upon my heart a little while ago, but I know it's for somebody here today, maybe for multiple people here today. I know it's for me. I want to let the right people sharpen me. Don't give up on the world. We're supposed to reach the world, but we're supposed to be a light in the world. Our families that and our friends that do not know God, they need to see someone who loves the Lord so we can sharpen them the right way. Don't let them cause you to be dull. Spend time with God. As you spend time with him, he will influence you and he will sharpen you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for each person that's here. Lord, I love them. I pray for them. I desire what's best for them. Lord, I really want to be someone who is a sharpener. I can imagine that in my life sometimes, in my own flesh, that I probably don't sharpen very well. And God even talks about it in Galatians chapter 5. We could have kept on reading. It talks about people acting in the flesh. But it says, Lord, you've saved us. You called us with liberty, Lord. And not that liberty to act fleshly, but a liberty to serve one another. That means a liberty to sharpen one another. Even in Hebrews, you tell us to provoke each other to good works. Lord, I've been to church. I've seen church splits. I've seen churches do different things. And I know there's a lot of people provoking people to do certain things, but it's not always good works. Thank you for the spirit that's here at our church. I thank you for the sharpening that happens here. I truly believe that it could even happen at a greater rate and a greater success rate. I believe you're trying to do something in our hearts. And I believe that some of us have probably allowed certain things and people and organizations to influence us, that we begin questioning the things of God. But Lord, help us to spend the most time with you. Help us to be thinking of you, considering you, and Lord, allowing you to sharpen us so we can sharpen others. Thank you for the wonderful church you've given us. I pray that you help us leave this service with the intention of being an encouragement and a sharpener to someone else, even today. In Jesus' name, amen.